Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
What you're listening to is not the Hitler Youth. What you're listening to is not the young pioneers of Joseph Stalin. What you're listening to should put a chill through the hearts of everyone listening to this program. It is elementary school students chanting a song praising Obama as though they're the Hitler Youth. Now you say, well, it's only one teacher. But I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about children being brainwashed to worship the President of the United States of America? Back in the 1930s, Hitler started the Hitler Youth Corps. These young children have no idea what they are saying. Who was the teacher who did this? Now, let me tell you something. The leftists who are behind this think Obama is a messiah. They are taking a page right out of Goebbels' playbook. First, Obama's cabinet leader released edicts telling teachers how to get children to manipulate their parents into supporting Obama's leftist agenda. What do you think is going to happen in a few more years? What do you think has happened in nations that have brainwashed young children like this? Let's go to Cambodia, the Khmer Rouge. Who do you think it was who murdered millions of people once the communist revolution was fully intact in the Cambodia of yesteryear? It was the young children who had been brainwashed in schools like this. Look, I've got to tell you something. Barack Obama is a danger to the United States of America, in my opinion. I know that it's considered dangerous to say this on the radio because his minions have threatened anybody who stands up to him with every kind of threat imaginable. I am going to make an appeal right now on the Savage Nation that you have not heard anywhere else. I'm appealing to Vice President Joseph Biden to take the reins of power in the United States of America before it is too late. Not only too late for the Democrat Party, because as sure as I'm sitting here, if there are elections in 2010, notice the emphasis is on the word if. If there are elections in 2010, the Democrats are going to have the biggest loss they've ever seen in their life. There is greater voter remorse now than there ever has been in American history. Everybody who knew what was going on knew this man was a far leftist, but they had no idea that he was a neo-com, C-O-M. They had no idea that he was to the left of the United Nations. They had no idea he would become the apologist in chief. They had no idea he would put the interests of the world ahead of America. They had no idea he would try to destroy the American currency in order to make Americans powerless. They had no idea, they had no idea, they had no idea. Neither did Biden, neither did the Clintons, neither did the Democrat machine. And I am telling you, I have intuition about things. I have been in this business for 15 years and I've never been wrong. I have no way to know if this is true. I can only tell you what I surmise. This, after all, is a radio talk show. This is an opinion show. So I'm going to give you one man's opinion. I am going to guess that the elders of the Democrat Party are nervous about the Frankenstein that they've put into the White House. They're terrified that this man is going to destroy not only the Democrat Party, which is their first interest, but the United States of America as well. I am appealing to Joe Biden to step forward and save this country from this messianic maniac before it is too late. You know, if you've read history, if you read fiction, You have to understand how dangerous it is to brainwash children like this. First of all, for 20 years we've been told we want a separation of church and state. If anyone mentions the Bible, they were arrested because of the psychopaths on the left. If anyone put up the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments are ripped down. But now you have the worship of a man called Barack Hussein Obama. And what's interesting to me is that the teacher is making them sing Barack Hussein Obama, not Barack Obama. Remember during the election when I said Barack Hussein Obama, how the very same people who are now threatening everyone in the conservative radio area, dare you say the word Hussein, you are a racist. I said, well, why am I a racist for saying his name? Because we say so. Well, now they're using the name Hussein because they want to brainwash the children into accepting Arabic names. Don't you understand what's going on? Have you read Brave New World? Have you read Animal Farm? Have you studied the Khmer Rouge? Have you studied the Hitler Youth? Have you studied the Stalin Young Pioneers? If you have, then you agree with me. If you haven't, then you're more dangerous than even your wife thinks you are. I'm going to take your calls on this right now. Again, what am I talking about? Play the soundbite for a few seconds. This is a school class, not in Cambodia, not in China, but in the Bernice Young Elementary School in Burlington, New Jersey. It was uploaded to YouTube on June 19th, 2009. These are children being brainwashed into praising not Mao Zedong, but Barack Hussein Obama. Play it. Go ahead, please. Okay, let's stop right here. Now, one of the phrases is equal work for equal pay. What you don't know about that one is this was a common theme for the 1940s Daily Worker, which was the official newspaper of the Communist Party of Great Britain. It has resonated since in socialist and communist political circles worldwide. It is now a presidential slogan used frequently by Barack Hussein Obama's communist youth corps. This was performed in Elvira James's second grade class. James, who refused to comment to Fox News, retired at the end of the previous school year on a full pension in New Jersey. This is the Savage Nation. Let's take your calls. Let's see how you feel about your children being brainwashed by this messianic leader of ours. And do you agree with me that we should appeal to Joe Biden? You know, it's a funny thing I should say, Joe Biden. Joe Biden is seen somewhat as a laughingstock by many because the press wants you to think that he's a bumbling old fool. Every time Joe Biden says something, they made a mockery of him. Now, why do you think they did that? Because they didn't want him to upstage the Messiah. Because Obama's communist friends in the media criticize and attack anybody who attacks their leader, their maximum leader, even Joe Biden, vice president. Now, Joe Biden is an old-line American Democrat of the centrist variety. He's been around a long time. I frankly trust him much more with regard to national security than I do regard Obama as a national security leader. I would trust Biden more as a commander-in-chief than I would Barack Hussein Obama. I had a dream 3 weeks ago that I didn't tell you about. You know, if you listen to the Savage Nation for many years, you know that I sometimes share my dreams. I had a dream that was quite profound because I never dream about a guy like Biden. How would Biden come into my dreams? I never talk about him. Well, I had a dream that I was standing in front of Joe Biden, and I said, Mr. Vice President, are you aware that America has become a proto-Stalinist nation? And he said to me with a very serious and understanding and frightened, nod, yes, Michael Savage, I do. I'll be right back. Savage.
Mm-hmm.
this is not created by the right wing. This was not set up as a stunt by the right wing. This is one culture in New Jersey. Now, I expect that this could be a rehearsal for a future event. Perhaps soon you will see the children dressed in their green uniforms for Earth Day, or perhaps for a Comrades Day pageant. Here's a question for the Savage Nation. Free book, banned in Britain, to whoever gets it right. Who said, he alone who owns the youth gains the future? I'm quoting someone now. He alone who owns the youth gains the future. Whoever knows who said that gets a free copy of Banned in Britain. New York City, Jay, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Okay, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I mean, comparing Obama to Hitler, I think, is way too...
Well, you're the one comparing Obama to Hitler. I'm comparing these children to the brainwashed children of Germany in the Hitler Youth Corps. That's a little different than what you're comparing him to.
Right. No.
Why would you compare him to Hitler?
I just think that... You see, I just think since Obama happens to be the first African-American president, it's just pride. That's all it is. I don't think they're being brainwashed. I just think...
Well, you yourself don't have children. You're not oriented that way, correct?
No, I don't.
Well, that's why you can say that, because you don't know what a child is. You think that a child is something that the state owns, because you yourself don't have a child, so you don't understand that a child is not state's property. How is it that children cannot say the Pledge of Allegiance, but they can worship the president? You think that's American, to worship a president?
That's not what's happening, though. That's not what's happening. That is not what's happening.
Well, that's because you said it three times. That's because you said it three times. That's because you said it three times.
As I explained before.
Are you still trying to make your mind move? Are you still trying to think? Why are you still trying to think? You keep repeating. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Care to comment on the little children being brainwashed to worship a president? Our public education system, as you well know, is amongst the worst of the Western nations. That is because for 20 years the left has poisoned the minds of children with utter rubbish, teaching them about sexuality, teaching them how to put condoms on cucumbers, teaching them about scientific rubbish, unscientific nonsense about global warming, and they can't add, they can't read, they can't write, and now they're going to this level. Las Vegas, Adam, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Adam, go ahead, please. Gone with the wind. Las Vegas, Anthony, go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Buddy, sorry about that. We had to pull our kids out of the Clark County, Las Vegas School District because my son is 7 years old. Every day was coming home, Obama this, Obama that. I'm not an Obama supporter. I asked him, where'd you hear this? Every day when we stand up, we pledge to Obama, pledge allegiance to Obama. I went nuts when I heard that. At first, I didn't believe it.
That was in Las Vegas?
Vegas, Nevada, Clark County School Districts.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school with my son the next day, me and my wife. Sure enough, right underneath the flag, there was a 15 by 20, a little bit bigger than that, poster of Obama right underneath the flag. They have to look at Obama. I said, okay, what is this all about? I approached the teacher. She said, well, Obama is our current president. That was her answer. No logic.
It's okay to have a picture of the president in a schoolroom. They've done it with every president in the past. But indoctrinated children to chant to the president is another story, Anthony.
It is. My son has been talking about Obama so much. My son is telling me every day we learn about Obama. Every day we learn.
Isn't this reminiscent, let's talk in current time, of either Chavez's dictatorship in Venezuela or Kim Jong-il's dictatorship in North Korea? Isn't that what they do in those nations?
Yes. I just feel this is the beginning of some bad times. I mean, I'm a new listener, real new listener.
Let me tell you, here's what I would do. I don't have young children anymore. They've grown up. I had to face a lot of political nonsense when they were young, and I fought every step of the way. We had to fight it even then, 20 years ago. You can sue the school district for brainwashing your children and causing them emotional harm. I would suggest any parent whose child is in a school where they are forced to sing praises to the President of the United States, consider hiring a lawyer and sue the school district until they're broke. You know what? Use the liberal tactics against them, Anthony. That's my suggestion. That's all there is. The children can't say, "In God we trust." The children can't pledge allegiance in many of these communist schools, but the children can pledge allegiance to a president? It's unbelievable to me. John, San Diego, go ahead, please. Savage Nation calls.
Yeah, answer to your question is Joseph Goebbels, Mark Lloyd's mentor. That's who...
Well, I asked the question, who is it who said he alone who owns the youth gains the future? You think it was Goebbels?
I think so.
You sure it wasn't his boss?
Well, he said it. His boss made him say it.
But who wrote it?
Hitler.
He who gains the youth owns the future. He who gains the youth owns the future. All right, you win anyway. You're getting a free copy of Banned in Britain. Stay on the line, because at least you're close. No more callers on that. If you care to comment upon this issue of the children, play it again, Sam, just for a minute so they get the drift, the kind of intonations and the incantations and the implications.
He said it all, she's here today. Equal work means equal pay. Here I am, stay alone. He said it all, take a chance and make sure everyone gets a chance.
So it's brainwashing at its worst. And whether or not it's brainwashing of this type or any other type, it is occurring in a public school. It is dangerous. It is alarming. And we still don't really know where Obama was born. I know that it's not permitted to say that anymore, because the radical leftists in the administration and the media have tried to laugh doubters out of the court of public opinion. Nevertheless, the president has never satisfied 400,000 to 600,000 people who signed a petition asking to show his true birth certificate. So until that is done, we'll ask the question.
Savage.
All right, well, there it is. He alone who owns the youth gains the future. Adolf Hitler, speech at the Reichspartetag, 1935. He alone who owns the youth gains the future. Now, we're not accusing the president of having inculcated the cult of personality. As you well know, he's a very modest man. As you well know, Barack Hussein Obama is the humblest of all presidents. As you well know, Barack Hussein Obama has had adversity all of his life, having had to suffer through a grandmother who sacrificed her entire life for him, and then having had her herself rejected by him. No, he suffered greatly with white liberals getting on their hands and knees there during his entire youth to grease the skids for him. He's a great suffering individual. Now, what if this was a song about God? What if someone had posted on YouTube children singing praises to Jesus? Let's start with that. Public school, New Jersey, and a YouTube posting comes up where they're singing hymns to Jesus, Lord and Master of the universe. Tell me what this sneering vermin in the media would be saying today. Tell me what the vermin at ABC, CBS, NBC, and the rest would be saying today if a YouTube video had been posted, let us say on one of the left-wing blogs, showing children being taught to sing Praise Jesus. They would go berserk. Every diversity type in America would be screaming, demanding investigations. You get the picture. But now we see the cult of personality that is something right out of, if not Germany, then you can go to China. This is what they did with the youth in China. This is what they did, the Red Brigades. This is what they did with the youth of Cambodia. This is what they did with the youth of the Soviet Union in the 1930s during Stalin's era. And now we have it in the United States of America. Of course, it's not being conducted by the government, comma, yet, period. Let me repeat that. Of course, this brainwashing or indoctrination is not being done by the government, comma, yet, period. Kansas City, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Well, Michael, my mom taught kindergarten in Nazi Germany. And, you know, whether it's happening under Hitler or under the regime of Nancy Police State and her crew or Kim Jong-il and his brother mentally, it's all the same, you know, evil imprinting of political egos and their agendas on vulnerable minds. They allow it or they don't allow religion. And the most important thing I have to say is that the solution to this problem is that the people who are outraged by this need to have somebody like a Thomas More Foundation write legislation that they can hand carry in the thousands to Washington, D.C., demanding a separation of children from state. We have separation of church from state. We need
hold on. That's a good idea that will take forever. The Congress will not vote for it. I have a much faster way to get to our end, which is to have parents sue the school district for having caused emotional distress in their children. This would stress a child to worship a man, wouldn't you say so? Wouldn't this stress a child to be worshiping a man?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we should play all ends against the middle, because what we'll prove by bringing legislation and lawsuits to the courts and to our legislative branch of government is that the government is not listening. That will increase the outrage of the people, rightly so. The righteous.
Listen, the government never listened to the people, except in the early days. The government has to be sued into listening to the people. The fact of the matter is the National Endowments for the Arts said today that its communications director, Yossi Sargent, has resigned. You know who Yossi Sargent is?
The one who was on the conference call asking for the artists to create propaganda.
Yes, this is the same Yossi Sargent who went on the air, on the telephone with artists, so-called artists. There are no artists receiving NEA grants, as you well know. There are no geniuses receiving MacArthur grants. By definition, a genius would never receive a MacArthur grant. And there are no artists who would receive an NEA grant. It's impossible. It's mutually exclusive. What he said to the so-called artists, I would encourage you to pick something, whether it's healthcare, education, the environment, you know. There's four key areas that the corporation has identified as the areas of service. Sargent told so-called artists on the call, which he reportedly invited some of them to attend. He said, my task would be to apply artistic, you know, your artistic, creative communities, utilities, and bring them to the table. He has resigned. So don't think that Obama is not cognizant of the fact that the people are on to him. The White House did seek to downplay the story, which has gotten little mainstream media attention, despite heavy coverage from the Savage Nation and many, many other outlets on the American Patriot side. But the fact of the matter is the White House did issue new guidelines aimed at preventing politics from mixing with agency business. That's for now. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. 1-800-449-8255. I hope you have gone on to my website and signed the free petition for free speech. What the petition is in plain English is a petition. We had 20,000 people sign in 2 days, which I'm going to send to every senator and every congressman in the United States of America, asking them to do what they're required to do by law, which is to intercede on my behalf to get my name off the list of murderers and terrorists. Now, I'm not going to waste your time by reading to you the right of petition, which is a fundamental right set out in the First Amendment, where it says Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I'm asking you to redress this grievance. This petition clause actually concludes the First Amendment's enumeration of expressive rights. In many ways, the petition clause supports them all. Petition is the right to ask government at any level to right a wrong or correct a problem. Hillary Clinton refuses to be my Secretary of State because she is partisan. The Secretary of State is supposed to be a nonpartisan position. Her job is to represent the interests of all Americans, not just those who sing the praises of Democrats. That's why I need your help. I need you to help me the same way the early Americans stood up to King George III. I need you to help me stand up to Queen Hillary I. I need you to go to michaelsavage.com and sign the petition, darn it. Do it already. You know that in the year 1215, King John signed the Magna Carta, which recognized the right of the barons to petition the crown. And from this little contract, the Magna Carta, grew this tradition, which allowed British subjects to submit their grievances to the King's Council. And with the development of the Parliament, it went to the House of Commons. We are way past the Magna Carta. And yet here I am, Michael Savage, banned in the nation of the Magna Carta and not supported by the land of the First Amendment. I need the people behind me. That's what I need right now. I've said my piece. The rest is up to you. Ryan in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi. It's a pleasure to talk to you. It's really appalling, and it's really it gives me chills listening to that sound clip. I was just wondering if you happen to know about what Napolitano released with the Girl Scouts, how they're going to be used for like disasters.
Oh, the great Homeland Security Director who had nothing to do with the recent terrorist bust. Why is the Department of Homeland Security created? Do you know what it was created for, since you're raising the issue?
I'll let you tell us.
Well, I don't know. The DHS was created right after 9/11 as an additional police arm, investigative arm, to counter terrorism within the borders of the United States of America. And yet this latest terrorist bust in New York City was done by the FBI, the good old FBI. The NYPD bungled it and almost blew the entire operation, according to every report we're reading. And yet DHS had nothing to do with this. So what in the world does the DHS do? I haven't any idea what they do. I'm only asking a question. I understand she's going to use the Girl Scouts for something, but we don't know what that's for. Do you?
No, but it's for...
Yeah, let's let it go with that. All right, let's let that sit out there. San Antonio, Kathy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. This is exactly the reason why I homeschool my four children. Listening to this kind of stuff that goes on, this indoctrination that they keep doing to our kids, it's appalling. It's appalling.
Using federal money to promote political agendas, that is unto itself illegal. You know, let's put aside the cult of personality. But using federal money in a public school to promote a political agenda is illegal. That's at the very least what the problem is. Thank you very much. So we have an administration that is clearly a neocom administration, neocommunist, and the headline indicts conservatives who point out this appalling use of children in this cult of personality. You know, when I would say to the government, what I would like to say is, have you no shame? I would ask the question, but I know for a long time they have no shame. They have no conscience. Let's move on. Let's move on. What else would you like to talk about? Yesterday I had a fellow call the show when I did inventory on the show, and I said, look, what would you like me to do more of? What would you like me to do less of? And he said, more Teddy, less Barry. So I said, okay, that's funny, but I have no new Teddy stories. Well, as life would have it, I do have a new Teddy story for you, just to lighten things up a bit. Teddy, for those of you who don't know, is featured on the cover of Psychological Nudity. He's a little darling, 11-pound poodle, and he has a natural haircut. Don't think foo-foo poodle. He's got the original full hair. Hi, Ted. Teddy! Well, he's sleeping right now. I shouldn't disturb his sleep. He's in the studio with me. I swear to God, this happened this morning. I wake up this morning. I'm trying to make myself more fit, so I'm using dumbbells for about 4 months now. I use them only in the bedroom. I hate gyms. I can't stand it. But I found out that if I just use very light dumbbells, the minute I get out of bed and before I go to sleep, my whole body's been changing its shape. It's amazing what you could do with very light weights in a very short period of time, a very little workout, but over a long period of time and every day consistently. I also do a few push-ups, so I get up, and I get down to do my push-ups, and I swear to God, he moved over to my face, turned over on his back, and put his face right underneath my face, so every time I had it, went to the rug to do a push-up, he was there licking my face. It was the cutest thing in the world. I started laughing to myself. I said, how can an animal be so beautiful to understand that a day needs to start with a smile? I said, this dog is amazing to me. I didn't teach him this. Teddy, I'm talking about you. Every time my face got to the ground, there was Teddy on his back with the paws over his chest. You know, the little way they roll on their back. And I would go down and give me a little lick. It was so cute. It was unbelievable. Now, I don't know if that's illegal yet in America to love your dog this way. We'll have to check into it. Perhaps Animal Protective Services will break my door down tomorrow. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Now let's go back to the North Korean song. They kind of have similar overtones with a different intonation. Nice ring to it, doesn't it? Coming to a neighborhood near you? No, not in America. Can't happen here. A gang couldn't take over the country. A small gang from Chicago and God knows where else, they couldn't take over the country. Impossible. It can't happen here. Not with such a good man as this in office. All right, Warren in San Francisco on KSTE 650 on the dial. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. You're next up.
How are you? Hey, you know, you talked a while back about why people weren't having children. And this type of thing is exactly why we chose not to have children. The writing was on the wall in the 90s, and now this is blatant.
Well, look, it's a decision that you have a right to make. There's no obligation to have children. Children are very difficult, 24/7. And if you have children, you know what I'm talking about. It never ends and never should end. If you don't have children, that's a choice. However, let me put this in context, because these are certainly not the worst of times right now, Warren, nor are they the best of times. And I will remind you that people had children even during the plague. They had children during the Black Death. They had children during hurricanes, storms, tornadoes, invasions and whatnot. So there's something to it, Warren, that encourages people to bring children into the world, even in the worst of times.
Right. I mean, but on top of having to deal with my mother-in-law, Michael, and then...
Oh, you were setting me up for that one.
Well, listen, thank you for your...
No, look, I understand. I'm not saying you have to have children to be a patriot, but what I'm saying is, okay, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So she's difficult? Mom's difficult?
You know, Actually, I love her. Like every mother-in-law, she's got her moments. And conversely, so do I. So there you have it.
Well, you're lucky you have someone to play off against. You know, I have a new way to relate to life that I'm getting older and wiser, Warren. I got to tell you, I bicycle every morning a couple of miles, pretty flat surface. But every morning I wind up, you know, like grimacing when someone's in my way or some idiot walking a dog on a long leash. You know what I mean? Or the idiots are on the wrong side of the bike path and you have to honk and yell or whatever. Please get over. You know, that kind of thing. So I said, you know, this is not a good thing for me. I don't enjoy it anymore. Every time I go out. So for a while I tried this technique. I say, try 10. That's the 10 theory. You're going to encounter 10 people who are in your way. Count them. There's 10. Then a few minutes later, there's number 9. And you know what I mean? After the 10th one, you can get angry. And usually it's never more than 9. You know what I mean? Or 8 or 9. But I said, that's not a way to look at your fellow humans. So the other day, I started a new way to bicycle, Warren, which is this. Look at your fellow human. Look at your fellow human. Isn't it nice that they're out on a bike path? Would you rather have nobody there? Would you rather be bicycling in a world without people? Would you rather see nobody? Is that the world you want to live in? And you know something? It was like magic for me. You talk about anger management. It really worked. I don't know the people, but I said they are your fellow human. So they're idiotic and they're wandering around like dazed, but whatever. It didn't matter to me at that point. I just saw them as fellow humans. It was a big change for me.
Absolutely. You know, the last time I spoke with you, the last time I checked in, was when you and Mrs. Savage broadcast about 10 years ago.
What?
And, yeah, do you remember that?
Tell me what it was about. I don't.
Boy, it was, it just struck me, and I had to call, and that was the last time I called in, but you and Mrs. Savage were on the line, and I just called, and I just checked in, and thank you for doing, just everything that you do, and it's been about 10 years, and I'm just,
wow.
Just needed to check.
Where, what city do you live in, Warren?
I actually live in the East Bay in a little town near Richmond.
And you're picking it up on KSTE 650 now, or you're getting it on the internet?
Sacramento Station.
Good, good, good. Don't be shy. Well, Warren, I'll tell you what. Since it's our 10th anniversary as distant friends, I'm sending you a free copy of Band in Britain when it comes out. We're going to the printer tomorrow. Stay in the line. As a matter of fact, the first edition, first printing, I'm telling you right now, yes, I'll probably add a little bit to it next week. But once I order the first edition, first printing, remember I told you that last year with Psychological Nudity? Yes, I'll do another printing. It'll be the first edition, second printing. But right now, you want a collector's item, go to michaelsavage.com. That's all. So look, this is a pretty alarming story. It's very emotionally threatening to people with children. But I want to ask you people on the left who say this is nothing, the right is just making this up, it's not a big story. What if a YouTube posting had appeared on one of the left-wing radical slime sites? And you can name them. I don't have to name them. You know what they are. Well, let's say MSNBC, the worst of them all, the most propagandist of all outlets. Let us say they showed a YouTube video of children singing praises to Jesus or to President Bush with some kind of incantation behind it with a cross held up in the room. Tell me what the reaction would be. So you must forgive us poor right-wingers for our emotional reaction. We are sort of unable to think as reasonably about things as you. We do respect life and we do respect living things, unlike you. And so we get emotional about our children.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
A wonderful baller. Oh, carry on, Mr. Chamberlain. You know we're all with you. And when we
all right, well, propaganda is propaganda is propaganda. Thanks for the singing. I appreciate it very much. So the first little ditty of elementary school students singing Barack Hussein Obama was not recorded in Kenya. It was not recorded in Indonesia. It was not even recorded in the People's Republic of Hawaii. It was recorded in a schoolroom in New Jersey where poor little children were brainwashed into a cult of personality unseen in American history, something out of either the ex-Soviet Union and the Young Pioneer, with the Young Pioneers, or something you would have seen in Mao Zedong's China, or then again in the early 1930s in Germany when the Hitler Youth was created. This is not to say that Obama himself was behind it. We all know that. But I have said to you 100 times before that it is not the individual himself who is president who is important necessarily. It is the people who brought him to power and the people who surround him in the circle of power who you have to watch out for. Bill Ayers, for example. Bill Ayers, as you well know, was a radical left winger. It is now alleged that he wrote Obama's biography for him by World Net Daily. Bill Ayers and his friends in the group called Students for a Democrat Society were really stone-hearted street thugs, some of whom called for quite strong violence against the bourgeoisie along the lines of what you saw in Cambodia. And many of us sense that they really are waiting for the right time to strike to that level. Certainly they don't have the power to do it now. There's no question about it. But if the people don't wake up fast enough, it can happen here. Anything can happen here. Now you say, well, what does a few kids singing the Obama anthem have to do with this kind of dark vision that you have of a homicidal police state? Well, everything and nothing. Everything in the sense that you can trace a trajectory from this kind of innocence, or what appears to be an innocent singing in a school, to the kind of desperate horrors that we saw in so many countries in the last century, if you wish. Or you could say one has nothing thing to do with another. He's just a young president. He's trying to do his best. He's an idealist. You know, don't flare it up. Don't be so paranoid. So you could take it any way you want. I'm not going to tell you what to think. I know what I think. I know what I dream. And I know that my subconscious is often wrong. So when I dreamed a few weeks ago that I met Joseph Biden, who I never think about, I mean, he's been made into a buffoon, and I said, Mr. Vice President, are you aware that we are living in a proto-Soviet state? And the vice president looked at me seriously and said, yes, I do. What does that mean? Is just the inner mind of Michael Savage, paranoid fears, or is it a prescient view of what the elders of the Democrat Party themselves are seeing this out-of-control narcissistic individual is doing, not only to their party, but to the world and to America in the world? So you have to decide for yourself what you think is going on. You have to decide for yourself how unsettling or how settling it is to have this man in the White House. And that's the end of the story. Now I'm going to take your calls. That's all. Let's begin in Virginia. Lisa, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I am a fourth grade teacher in Virginia, and I am absolutely appalled by this video. It is brainwashing. As a Republican, as a Christian, in my school and in my town, we were told not to speak. I am not allowed to give my view on my religious belief or on my political beliefs. But when it came time for the election, we had staff members wearing Obama, Democrat. So there's a double standard in our society and in our
But there's
society.
Only a double standard because we permit the illegitimate left to intimidate us through their threats, their violence, and their big damn mouths. Just look them in the face and say, absolutely not. I'll tell you what I think about God, and I'll tell you what I think about politics. And if you don't like it, you can shove it. Get in their face. Stop being intimidated by them. How's that? Does that work for you?
Yes, it does. And that's
get in their face. Get in their face. Don't be intimidated by these left-wing fanatics. Get in their face. Don't be afraid of them. You know, you could do something for America, and I'm not going to say sign my petition. You've heard that already. Wherever you are, whether it be a restaurant, a supermarket line, all you got to do is say to the person you're with or even the cashier, you know, that Obama is acting more and more like a dictator. Just say a simple thing like that or ask the question. What do you care what they think of you? If you could only get over your middle class shame, if you can only get over your middle class brainwashing, if you can only get over your middle class fear of being called impolite, just say it wherever you are. Think what would happen. Think of the power if 30 million Americans every day said it once. Isn't it frightening how Obama turns out to be such a dictator? What if you said that 30 million times once? Every one of you said it once a day. Think of the power that you have to save this country from this cult of personality, this narcissist, and this neo-communist. Neo-communist. Neo-com. 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 I'll say it until you hear me. For 8 years, we had to listen to the word neo-con every time the word Bush was mentioned. Every time anyone in the Bush administration talked about the dangers of Islamofascism and the need for a muscular military reaction, the word neocon, neocon, neocon came up. So what goes around comes around. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Now it's time for you to say neocom, 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 with an emphasis on the MMM. Neocom, neocom, neocom. You have neocoms running America. A neocom is a new communist. It's a new form of communism. It's not the old form of communism. It's not Stalin's communism. It's not your grandfather's communism. It's not even the Chinese form of communism. It's not the North Korean form of communism. It is a neocom, neocom, neocom. Neocom, neocom, neocom. Tampa, Florida. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Wonderful to talk to you. I have to tell you, there's probably nobody out there right now that has a better understanding of what's going on in the world than you. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you really understand history, you study it, and you recognize it, and you are able to determine the patterns that are existing right now. And the fact
yes.
that you can go in and look at history and see exactly what it is Barack and his people are doing in the country would amaze you, and I applaud you for that. The
manipulation is going on in America.
The wind, Steve, the wind is blowing through your phone. Can you turn your head into the, so the wind hits the back of your head?
How's that? Is that any better?
Yes.
Okay, good. What I was saying was, it's amazing how you are able to put the pieces of the puzzle together, and I think that's why you're considered very dangerous and probably why the British don't want you in their country, because you're able to say exactly what's going on out there in a way that everybody understands. And when you look at the manipulation that's happening in America right now, whether it's the brainwashing of children in the schools, the brainwashing of the media who were fawning all over Barack and are basically carrying his water for him, and the people that he surrounds himself with, he's created and he's actually been able to duplicate a lot of the other efforts that have happened in the past of people such that, like you've mentioned, whether it's Stalin or Mao Zedong or other people that rely upon the cult of personality and the people following along to influence the country and the nation and the people there to do what they want.
Well, but the thing is, we don't have to be passive and sit here wringing our hands and saying, oh, my God, look what he's doing. We have little things we can do that are all peaceful. And it's as simple as speaking out quietly. You don't even have to say it loudly. If you were to say on a supermarket line to a checkout cashier, isn't it terrible how Obama is moving towards a dictatorship? Or isn't it terrible how Obama seems to favor the world over America? Or isn't it terrible how Obama did this or Obama did that? What if you posed it as a friendly question? And what if 30 million people did it once a day somewhere publicly? Give it some thought as to what power that is, Steve.
It's amazing power, and it takes individuals speaking out and telling the truth.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean yelling. It doesn't mean screaming. It doesn't even mean going to a town hall meeting, although that's certainly fine. It means asking a question on a supermarket line. You can change the world. Thanks for the call. Peter, New York, WOR, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, you're the best, buddy. I just want to say, you know, it's funny that Pelosi and people on her side right away through the Nazi sale, or these right-wingers are acting like Nazis. It amazes me that these people that are in power right now are using the same tactics. They're brainwashing kids. They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff and getting the arts involved. This is exactly
That's right. That's exactly what every dictatorship does. They get the fake artists involved to paint heroic images of the leader. Anyone who gets an NEA grant is not an artist, as you well know. They're just illustrators who the government is using to further the propaganda of the government. But put that aesthetic opinion aside. The schools, you pick any branch of government and you will find that it is now a branch of the Obama public relations machine, Pete. And don't be bulldozed or intimidated by the news media who is calling anyone who stands up to Obama all sorts of names. Expect it from them. They're frightened of you. They're terrified that the people are speaking. They expected you to keep your mouth shut for the rest of your life. They're shocked that the actual people of America are standing up to the government media complex. The time is 17, 18 minutes after the hour. Actually, it's 18 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. Back in a minute.
Savage.
Decades after the Holocaust, you give legitimacy to a man who denies the murder of 6 million Jews while promising to wipe out the state of Israel, the state of the Jews. What a disgrace. What a mockery of the Charter of the United Nations. Now, perhaps some of you think that this man and his odious regime, perhaps they threaten only the Jews. Well, if you think that, you're wrong. Dead wrong.
That's Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu slamming the UN for giving the Hitler of our time Ahmadinejad a forum. I agree with him 100%. It is a damn shame that we in America did not vociferously protest the arrival of Hitler to America. And apparently we've learned nothing from history, not only on the macro scale of Hitler arriving in New York yesterday and giving a speech, but of a new dictator arising in America. At every level, a dictatorship is growing in this country, like a virus, in my opinion. Now, I realize this is not a very popular thing to say amongst the brainwashed Kool-Aid drinkers of the Obamathon, and I recognize that many of you would like to hear such statements either completely outlawed or punished by the law, and that is because if you were to look in the mirror, you would see that you are no longer a liberal. By mere dint of the fact that you don't like what I'm saying and it agitates you, by mere dint of the fact that you get angry at my suggestion that this kind of thing has to stop, by mere fact that you would like me outlawed, taken off the radio, put in prison, means that you are not a liberal. It means you have become the very thing you feared all your life. That you, if you looked at yourself in the mirror and what you have become and your tendencies and your desires, you would see you are the very thing, the very opposite of what you actually believe you are. And that's why I'm never going to stop. And that's why no one is going to silence me. I'm going to keep going as long as I have breath. I am telling you what I see. I wasn't born yesterday. I'm a highly educated man. I have written over 25 books. I have a PhD and two master's degrees. I'll go on and on with my credentials, and they're very important so that you understand who you're listening to. I am telling you that everything I see indicates to me we are in the early infant stages of a dictatorship in the United States of America, and Obama himself is the front man for the powers behind this dictatorship. Now, some of the people in the party behind him are aware of this, but most of them are not. Most of them are ordinary grubbers simply trying to scratch a living out of the earth. Grubbians is what some call them. Grubbers will take a buck. They don't care where it comes from. They don't care how. They have no desire to even delve into what the big picture is. All they care about is grubbing another buck out of the concrete. I can give you some names, but I think I don't have to. You could pretty much take a look at virtually any run-of-the-mill apparatchik in the Democrat Party and conclude for yourself that they're of the former variety. Then there are the hardcore Marxists in the administration. Many of them are the czars. The czars were made czars so they would not have to go through any scrutiny or analysis. And consequently, we now have evidence to what I am saying to you. How could we have so many czars in a democracy? How did this arise? How is it possible? How could you and I not see what this says? What do you mean a czar of energy, a czar of automobiles, a czar of education, a czar of this, a czar of that? The word czar itself should offend you. The word czar itself tells you what they are. And yet you sit and tell me I'm wrong for saying this is a neo-com administration, a neo-communist administration. I think what we need to do is take a deep breath and analyze what communism is. What is communism? When you say communism, you say, oh, it's a dirty word. And it's a... Well, there are varieties of socialism, as I've tried to educate you, at least 30 varieties of socialism. And so then there are many varieties of communism. This country has been partly socialist, at least since the 1930s, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt took power, who was one of Obama's mentors. And so you see, we're already partly there. It's just that this guy wants to finish it off.
Savage.
Now, this has occurred in New Jersey. Of course, it was only one school, one superintendent, one teacher, who has retired with full pension, by the way, after doing her fine work as a brainwasher of children. But it's quite alarming because of the cult of personality, the fact that it's a worship of a president, worship of a man. And for years, the radical left has forced people to not say the word God, for example, can't say the word God, can't say the word Ten Commandments, anything in the Ten Commandments. But now, of course, they're starting to see if they can get away with brainwashing children in this manner. Whether it's only this school or other schools, we don't know. We know that this is the tip of the iceberg. And many of you could say, well, okay, we heard it already. Stop with the story. Stop with the already. We got the picture. Well, we could do that. On the other hand, I may not do it. I may play it for a few more days until you finally understand that it may not be Barack himself, but the people around him who are the dangerous ones. The people around him who do want, in fact, a redistribution of your wealth. When you say redistribution of wealth, meaning taking what you've worked for all your life and giving it to those who don't have it. In other words, they want a complete and total social revolution, which is right out of the playbook of the Bolsheviks in 1917. Whether it can happen here or can't happen here is subject to debate. I believe it very much is happening here. Not a matter of whether it will or can. It is happening here. And I've elucidated this for you for months now. So I'll go to the callers. That is what I'd like to do, is go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Indiana James, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I'll come right to the point. And the point is, I'm a first-time listener, and you are the John Wayne of this United States of America. And that's my point, and I just keep on. And
well, if you compare me to a great actor like John Wayne, I'm very, very honored. I mean, I'm a talk radio host. If you want to say I'm the John Wayne of talk radio, that's very nice.
Well,
that's very nice.
Standing up for our country.
Well, what else am I? Well, absolutely. I'm the son of an immigrant, of two immigrants, as a matter of fact. And I was taught to not only love and respect my nation, but literally to do everything I could to protect the freedoms of this nation. So thank you very much, James. I do appreciate it. God bless you. Please go to michaelsavage.com and sign the petition. You'll see what it's all about. I don't want to go through it again unless you go and look at it. We got 20,000 people signing in 2 days. Believe me, I'm not sharing a list with the U.S. government. Sacramento, Bill, KSTE, go ahead, please. Bill, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Okay, I'm in Walnut Creek. But anyway, what I'd like to remind people of, most of them are too young to remember, but in 1957, when the communists led by Kwame Nkrumah took over Ghana from the British, he had the children still in their neat British school uniforms, standing beside their desks, chanting, Kwame Nkrumah can do no wrong. Kwame Nkrumah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So this comes right out of that that model, then.
Exactly. It's just chilling. I can still vividly remember the video pictures of the children in their neat uniforms standing.
And where did this Nkrumah take his nation?
Down the pits. I mean, Ghana's been a basket case ever since.
Really? You would think that with such a desire to create equality, all the Ghanese would have been happy.
Yeah, but it's been a total disaster.
Somewhat on the lines of Zimbabwe, would you say?
Well, not quite as bad as Zimbabwe yet, but they've went through several insurrections, revolutions, disturbances. They've never had a stable government or a stable economy since.
So, Bill, were you living in Ghana at that time, or you just saw this on video?
Living in California, but I remember vividly.
Bill, you're an older guy. Bill, do you agree with me when I surmise that the elders of the Democrat Party are starting to become alarmed by Obama?
Well, I would hope so. I have some friends my age, and one of them I've known since we were in high school, which goes back many moons. But he voted for Obama, and boy, is he regretting it. He calls me and moans about how stupid he was.
Yeah, I would say that there's the greatest voter remorse after an election in the shortest period of time in American history. And that if the election were held today, even that doofus McCain would win.
Well, I held my
But that's water under the bridge. That's not going to happen. There is going to be no new election. The only chance we have here is for the elders of the Democrat Party to stop this this virus from spreading, this Marxist virus.
Well, yeah, and I think that the tea parties and various other things that are going on are getting people stirred up.
They are. And that's exactly why Nancy Pelosi calls the average American person such horrendous names, because she has not seen the average American stand up to her ever in her life. These people are insulated from the American people, Bill.
Everybody is watching Dancing with the Stars or something like that, and
Well, Bill, let me ask you this. Have you yet gone on to sign my petition? If not, please do. Thank you for the call. Play the clip again. I really want to play it again until people hate it. I want to just hear a little bit of it. I kind of like the tune. It could be a new release. Could save a record company. I like the part. Has a nice tone. Something out of Kenya, I would say. But it was in New Jersey. All right, cut it out. It's like Brave New World, really, is what it is, or something worse. Well, what do you want me to do now? Tell me what you want me to do now on the Savage Nation. I mean, I'm not angry. I'm not sad. I'm not frightened. I'm alarmed. It's a little different. There are various words for various emotions. I'm not angry. I'm not sad. I'm not frightened. I am alarmed. It's a little different. I am very alarmed by what this man is doing. Have you heard him at the UN? Have you listened to Obama's speech at the UN? Have you listened to what he actually said? It sounds like a schmuck in a college giving a speech to a bunch of other schmucks at a college, such as, no nation can or should try to dominate another nation, Hussein Obama said. No world order that elevates one nation or group of people over another will succeed. No balance of power among nations will hold. So here is a man expressing hostility toward his own nation's preeminence in the world. When I grew up, and in fact I still thought it was, a light unto the world. And yet we have a president, if you want to call him that, who is now saying that, let us say, Zimbabwe is equal to the United States. Tonga is equal to the United States. North Korea equal to the United States. Iran equal to the United States. How in the world could you not see this? He then goes on to make other statements. Listen to this, what he said. We have reengaged the United Nations, said the college teacher. We have paid our bills. We have joined the Human Rights Council. We have signed the Convention of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. We have fully embraced the Millennium Development Goals. And he thinks what as a result of that? Then he goes on and says, those who used to chastise America for acting alone in the world cannot now stand by and wait for America to solve the world's problems alone. So what is he saying? He thinks that the other nations are now going to join us? The other nations are now our friend? The fact of the matter, he is wrong. China has an interest of its own. China's interests extend to all of East Asia. Japan and their neighbors have an interest in maintaining themselves as Japan and their neighbors. And Iran, Obama says we are all equal now. Iran is a homicidal, genocidal nation under Ahmadinejad. Iran wants to gain a nuclear weapon and wipe Israel off the map. Israel, on the other hand, has an interest in stopping it. Certainly you'd think the United States does too. And yet Obama said nothing about it. What about nuclear disarmament? The Russians certainly want a move on ratifying the test ban treaty. Why? Why would the Russians want a nuclear test ban treaty? Well, I'll let you think about that. And I'd let you think about Obama going along with a nuclear test ban treaty. You see, Obama's concept of diplomacy is the humiliation of the United States of America and simply espousing left-wing college talk in the causes that he likes to espouse. In the end of his speech, Obama said the UN could, quote, be a place where we indulge tyranny or a source of moral authority. Really? And right after he got off the stage, who took the podium? Muhammad Gaddafi. You don't see the irony of that or the incongruity of that? So Obama is, in a way, a laughingstock. Obama is a laughingstock if he didn't have so much power. But the mushy-headedness of what he said, the call for world peace, the call for collective action, the call for every kind of stuff that you would hear in a college dorm from a bunch of kids who were stoned on pot was appalling. And yet it was our president at the UN looking ahead to his next job. Onward and upward, after taking over America, he would like to be the president of the world. And yet there is a precedent for this, precedent for all of this. And that can be seen in England again in the 1930s, one of my favorite examples of what we're living through in the United States of America today. And we have to go back to Obama's psychological predecessor, Neville Chamberlain. As you know, Chamberlain met with Hitler regarding the Czechoslovakian crisis, and he threw Czechoslovakia to Hitler, saying there'd be peace as a result. As you well know, there was no peace. Listen to clip 12 right now on the prospects of war with Germany from Neville Chamberlain. You've never heard this on AM radio before.
I am myself a man of peace to the depths of my soul. Armed conflict between nations is a nightmare to me. But if I were convinced that any nation had made up its mind to dominate the world by fear of its force, I should feel that it must be resisted. Under such a domination, life for people who believe in liberty would not be worth living. But war is a fearful thing. And we must be very clear before we embark on it that it is really the great issues that are at stake. For the present, I ask you to wait as calmly as you can for the events of the next few days. As long as war has not begun, that it may be prevented, and you know that I am going to work for peace till the last moment.
Now that's just before he threw Czechoslovakia to Nazi Germany, just as Obama threw Czechoslovakia and Poland to Russia the other day by saying, guess what, we lied to you. We're not giving you a nuclear defense, missile defense plant. Listen to clip 13.
The Prime Minister has sent the German Führer and Chancellor through His Majesty's Ambassador in Berlin the following message. In view of increasingly critical situation, I propose to come over at once to see you with a view to trying to find a peaceful solution. I propose to come across by air and am ready to start tomorrow.
All right, so he's willing to meet with Hitler. And next, 14, let's listen to that.
If an attempt were made to change the situation by force in such a way as to threaten Polish independence, by then that would inevitably start a general conflagration in which this country would be involved.
So here is a pacifist socialist diplomat named Neville Chamberlain. Even he was man enough and leader enough to recognize that he had to go to war at a certain point. Do you think that Obama would ever stand up to a threat to our national sovereignty like this? I don't know. I don't know. My worst fear is that the Obamaites would rather suppress the American conservatives than stand up to Iran or any of our other potential adversaries. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Unbelievable. Kind of catchy. I guess that Oprah will be inviting him on 60 Minutes. It'll tick, tick, tick it.
Well, what's actually wrong with this song, eh? What's the right wing so excited about? Why would they get so excited about equality and things like that, eh?
Well, that's what you have when you have worms in the media who don't even understand history. It's a product of either a lack of education or what do I know? How can I explain the vermin in the media? I've spent 15 years trying to explain to you that they're the reason we are in the shape we're in. 15 years I've tried to explain to you the number one reason we're in the shape we're in are not the politicians, but the mainstream media. Why? The job of the media in a free society is to be a constant thorn in the side of the government. And yet they have forgotten that. Now they're taking the side of this government. And they're angry at the people who don't like the government's move towards socialism slash communism. They're actually attacking the people. So the fifth column is actually the fourth estate. Or shall I say the Fourth Estate has now become the Fifth Column? You know, these are both historic statements that have a requirement of a certain amount of background, which I'll do another time. The Fourth Estate is the media. I'm in it. My job, I feel I do very well. I know I do it very well, or I wouldn't be here for 15 years. I wouldn't have lasted 15 minutes. Now, I realize I'm attacked, criticized, lied about, etc., but I would expect that from those on the other side, those who have tried to destroy our borders, language, and culture, those who have tried to brainwash our children, those who have taught our children the most perverse things imaginable and would like to further their decline, certainly would oppose Michael Savage. I respect their right to be vermin. They have every right to be vermin. They have every right to be degenerates. It's the American way, isn't it? But I have every right to say, no, you're wrong. I have every right to stand in their way. I have every right to agitate the people to stand up to them. And I have every right, and I intend to use it until it becomes illegal to do so, to say what I think to be the truth about what's going on with this character called Hussein Obama. Hussein Obama, by every estimation, is a neo-communist, neo-Marxist, whichever way you want to put it. Now, some of you actually see nothing wrong with that. Some of you actually applaud that. But please, be clear. Don't lie to yourself and don't lie to others. At least if you support his neo-Marxism, say so. Don't say we're wrong for calling it what it is. The man is a neo-Marxist. So now let's look at what that means. What that means is trickle-up poverty. If you remember Michael Savage during the last few debates with McCain, I came up with the phrase trickle-up poverty. In fact, on the day of the last debate, I went on the radio, because I'm very good at coining phrases. Nobody can beat me in the media. And I said, this is for John McCain. He has handlers who won't let him on this show because they are Democrats and they're going to throw the election to Obama. But he should go on the air tonight during the debate with Obama. And during the debate, he could end it with one blow, one statement. All he has to do is look at Obama and say, you know, Senator, we've heard all of this before. We've looked at these policies before. They've been tried before. And you know what they are, Senator Obama? It amounts to nothing more than trickle-up poverty. That would have been the end of the debate. One knockout blow would have been over. McCain would have been president for better or for worse. But we wouldn't have someone whose, let us say, loyalty to the country is a question. One thing about McCain is I never question his loyalty to the United States of America. Every day I wake up and I question Obama's loyalty to the United States of America. Now, why do I question Obama's loyalty to the United States of America? Because if you look back on his first 9 months, it's very easy to come to the conclusion that he doesn't put America first. In fact, he puts America last. In fact, if you look at what he's done over the first 9 months, you can easily question his loyalty to the country that has made him the president of the United States of America. At least that's one man's opinion. Go to MichaelSavage.com and sign the petition while you can.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, here's what's going on. Obama continues to undermine the United States world over. He leads the United States into an abyss that I don't know we can ever come out of. Now he leads the UN, which takes a nuclear-free vote. This is like a college teacher who's acting as president. It reminds me of Peter Sellers in The Gardener. It's incomprehensible. The UN Security Council, under this maniac, unanimously approved a U.S.-sponsored resolution committing all nations to work for a nuclear weapons-free world. This while North Korea and Iran are racing ahead with their nuclear ambitions. Can you believe we're in this situation and we have a Congress that doesn't say a word? Poor old Netanyahu of Israel condemned the U.N., saying, how could the U.N. give Iranian president the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad, legitimacy, just six decades after the Holocaust. You know, you don't have to love Israel to understand that he's right. It's astounding to me how the UN could legitimize a homicidal, genocidal maniac. So I agree with Netanyahu on Thursday as he railed against Iranian Hitler, Ahmadinejad, for his denial of the Holocaust, which everyone knows occurred. He had detailed reminders in hand of the war that sent 6 million Jews to their deaths in concentration camps, including construction blueprints for Auschwitz. Netanyahu took his turn at the dais of the UN to recall the agreement within the world body to create the Jewish state and express astonishment at what he witnessed a day earlier in that organization's great hall. He commended those who boycotted Hitler's speech, but condemned those who allowed it. He said, "To those who gave this Holocaust denier a hearing, I say on behalf of my people, have you no shame? Have you no decency?" The answer is, of course they don't. That's why they're in the UN. Hitler, Ahmadinejad, addressed the UN Wednesday, and in the run-up to the session repeated his belief that the Holocaust is a myth. Netanyahu said, "What a disgrace, what a mockery of the charter of the UN." He challenged the international community to step up and prevent Tehran from acquiring nuclear weapons, but expressed broad disappointment with the UN. He accused the UN of remaining silent on attacks on Israelis from Hamas and blasted the UN Human Rights Council for its twisted standards. As you well know, they recently condemned Israel and said nothing about Palestinian attacks. Okay, let's listen to a clip of Netanyahu's great speech right here.
"Yesterday, the man who calls the Holocaust a lie spoke from this podium. To those who refused to come, and to those who left in protest, I commend you. You stood up for moral clarity, and you brought honor to your countries. But to those who gave this Holocaust denier a hearing, I say on behalf of my people, the Jewish people, and decent people everywhere, have you no shame? Have you no decency?"
This is unbelievable to me.
"A mere 6 decades after the Holocaust, you give legitimacy to a man who denies the murder of 6 million Jews while promising to wipe out the state of Israel, the state of the Jews? What a disgrace. What a mockery of the Charter of the United Nations. Now, perhaps some of you think that this man and his odious regime, perhaps they threaten only the Jews. Well, if you think that, you're wrong. Dead wrong."
Another shock on a domestic front. School kids taught to praise Obama. You're not going to believe this. About 20 kids chanting, Barack Hussein Obama. He said that all must lend a hand to make this country strong again. Barack Hussein Obama. He said we must be clear today. Equal work means equal pay. Barack Hussein Obama. He said we must take a stand to make sure everyone gets a chance. Barack Hussein Obama. He said red, yellow, black, or white, all are equal in his sight. My friends, this is no longer a joke. This is a dictator. This is a dictator brainwashing your children. The Dems have pushed a $4 billion bailout now for the Postal Service. You hear this? It's unbelievable. New push for global currency. The corrupt HSBC bank bids farewell to the dollar supremacy. That's the same bank that just pulled a scam of $290 million for the Democrats. You saw that one, the fundraiser for Obama. Wall Street snubs Gordon Brown. Obama snubbed Gordon Brown. He made Gordon Brown race through the kitchen of the hotel to meet with him for 5 seconds. Of course, Obama didn't do it out of any principle. He did it only because he knows America is angry over the release of the Lockerbie bomber. You understand that. Since the stimulus has passed, the government has grown by 25,000 employees. Another practitioner of the religion of peace, indicted for conspiring to detonate world weapons of mass destruction in America. Isn't America great, Beowulf?
Oh, it's fantastic. He even had his own MySpace website.
Well, freedom is wonderful. Really great.
Yeah, he had links to clips of jihadist videos on the site. I was checking it out. Disgusting.
TARP Inspector says there's a lack of transparency on the bailout, and it's frustrating. What he means by a lack of transparency is that they're hiding who they gave the money to. See, they use code words. Lack of transparency, meaning they're hiding something, right? Everything's a double talk.
Under Roosevelt, at least they gave money to projects like the Golden Gate Bridge, the Bay Bridge. They had renewal projects. You could see what was going on. Now we have no idea where the money is going.
Well, you don't have to have it. The main thing is that Nancy Pelosi's friends are happy, and Obama's contributors got back $10 to every dollar. A secret White House power grab in full swing on MichaelSavage.com. Left unchecked, climate czar. Here we go, czar again. Carol Browner will move beyond automobiles to EPA's entire staggering 18,000-page blueprint for regulating the U.S. Economy. We have a picture, by the way, of Obama at Acorn in the early days. And the article says, why did the president feign ignorance of Acorn when his relationship with the group goes back 20 years? See, this is all a plot, Beowulf. Acorn is Obama. Obama is Acorn. It's all one and the same. Environmentalists seek to wipe out plush toilet paper. Let's see what else is on the website. United Kingdom's top legal officer is in a major scandal. She's the one who banned Michael Savage. You hear this? Obama and Hillary support the ousted communist dictator of Honduras. Don't miss the story of my donation to the Injured Police Officers Fund of Nevada. It's a foundation and a group I strongly believe in. Also, there's an interesting article about the Godfather movie where we learn that the story itself is filled with dysfunction. They say in making the movie, nobody enjoyed one day of it. I don't know if it's true, truthfully. I know they're re-releasing the movie now, you know, a new version, so they may be just putting a new story out on it. The Rules Murdering Our Troops from the New York Post is worth reading again, and he's right, Peters. He's right. He knows what he's talking about here. It's frightening. We're at a new low, and you have to read this article. He says, when enemy action kills our troops, it's unfortunate. When our own moral fecklessness murders those in uniform, it's unforgivable. And he said, in Afghanistan, our leaders are complicit in the death of each soldier, Marine, or Navy corpsman who falls because of politically correct rules of engagement that shield our enemies. And he's, of course, talking to General Stan McChrystal. He said the Obama way of war consists of rules of engagement that could have been concocted by Code Pink. If any civilians appear where we meet the Taliban, our troops are to break contact. In other words, run away. So that means that if the Taliban come out with hostages, our troops run away. Unless our troops in combat are absolutely certain that no civilians are present, they're denied artillery or air support. They're left to hang out to dry, in other words. But there's more to it. It's beyond belief.
It's amazing. The British and the Russians, when they went into Afghanistan, the graveyard of empires, used their full force and they couldn't win.
And then they now make sure that civilians are present whenever they conduct an ambush or operation. They attack with civilians around them and our Marines are forced to retreat. Can you believe this? Can you believe what's going on? As a real general put it a century ago, the purpose of an army is to fight, and the purpose of going to war is to win. It's not to sacrifice our own troops, to make sad sack do-gooders back home feel good. He's right about that. And the sad part is that he even said that some of our men are going to die as we get them out of the armored machines. They're literally going to sacrifice them to the enemy. I mean, Beowulf, how much worse can this get? I want everyone listening to the show right now to go to MichaelSavage.com and please, for free, sign the Savage petition to defend free speech. We've got almost 20,000 names in 2 days. I won't stop until we have 1 million. We're going to lobby our Congress to do the right thing, to beat the liberal blacklist, Beowulf.
Savage.
I quoted from an article from the UK Telegraph by Niall Gardner, which reported that the reason Obama is popular with the UN was because of his weakness. Niall Gardner joins us now with a little more detail.
Barack Obama's Gallup approval rating of 52%
may well be lower at this stage of his presidency than any U.S. leader in recent times, with the exception of Bill Clinton. But he is still worshipped with messiah-like adoration at the United Nations, and is considerably more popular with many of the 192 members of the UN than he is with the American people. The latest Pew Global Attitude survey of international confidence in Obama's leadership on foreign affairs shows strikingly high approval levels for the president in many parts of the world. 94% in Kenya, 93% in Germany, 88% in Canada and Nigeria, 77% in India, 76% in Brazil, 71% in Indonesia, and even 62% in China. The Pew survey of 21 countries reveals an average level of 71% support for President Obama, compared to just 17% for George W. Bush in 2008. As the figures indicate, Barack Obama received a warm reception when he addressed the United Nations General Assembly, whereas his predecessor in the White House was always greeted with undisguised contempt and stony silence. It's not hard to see why a standing ovation was given to President Obama at Turtle Bay, the UN headquarters. Obama's popularity at the UN boils down essentially to his willingness to downplay American global power. He is the first American president who has made an art form out of apologizing for the United States, which he has done on numerous occasions on foreign soil from Strasbourg to Cairo. The Obama mantra appears to be, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do to atone for your country.
This is unbelievable to me.
This is a message that goes down very well in a world that is still seething with anti-Americanism. It is natural that much of the UN will embrace an American president who declines to offer strong American leadership. A president who engages dictators like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Hugo Chavez will naturally gain respect from the leaders of the more than 100 members of the United Nations who are currently designated as party free or not free by the respected watchdog Freedom House. The UN is not a club of democracies who still remain a minority within its membership. It is a vast melting pot of free societies, socialist regimes, and outright tyrannies. Obama's clear lack of interest in human rights issues is a big seller at the UN, where at least half its members have poor human rights records. The president scores highly at the UN for refusing to project American values and military might on the world stage, with rare exceptions like the war against the Taliban. His appeasement of Iran, his bullying of Israel, his surrender to Moscow, his call for a nuclear-free world, his siding with Marxists in Honduras, his talk of a climate change deal have all won him plaudits in the large number of UN member states where US foreign policy has traditionally been viewed with contempt. Simply put, Barack Obama is loved at the UN because he largely fails to advance real American leadership. This is a dangerous strategy of decline that will weaken US power and make her far more vulnerable to attack. As we saw last week with his shameful surrender to Moscow over missile defense, the president is perfectly happy to undermine America's allies and gut its strategic defenses while currying favor with enemies and strategic competitors. The missile defense debacle is rightly viewed as a betrayal by the Poles and the Czechs, and Washington has clearly given the impression that it cares little about those who have bravely stood shoulder to shoulder with their U.S. allies in Iraq, Afghanistan, and the wider war on terror. The Obama administration is now overseeing and implementing the biggest decline in American global power since Jimmy Carter. Unfortunately, it may well take another generation for the United States to recover.
What about the speech he gave at the UN? It was horrible.
Well, President Obama gave one of the most appalling speeches that I can ever recall given by a U.S. figure on the world stage. I mean, at least the most appalling since Jimmy Carter, that's for sure. This was a speech that kowtowed to America's enemies on the world stage, given by a president who seems embarrassed, almost ashamed, to be leader of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. He condemned, of course, the actions of America's closest ally, Israel, while not issuing a single word of condemnation for the Iranians who are threatening to wipe Israel off the face of the map. This is not a constructive foreign policy for a U.S. president to pursue. This is a policy of decline that will haunt America for future decades to come.
Niall Gardner, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation. Great work. Now we'll take your calls on the Savage Nation. San Francisco, Amaryllis, what's on your mind about Teddy? What's this about?
Hi. Hi, Dr. Savage. I absolutely love your show because, I mean, you, so many categories, human interest, politics. But anyway, what I was calling about is I love the story where you had your boat out on the ocean and you hit a dry dock and Teddy refused to release himself. You remember that story?
You mean when I went up on a sandbar and I was, we were stranded for till the tide changed 6 hours later. And you say the dog held his water.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was in Richmond Harbor, the entrance to Richmond Harbor in Richmond, California, which has the worst markings of any I've ever seen. We went up on a sandbar, and we were stuck and couldn't move till the tide came up. And the two dogs were so well-behaved, it was astounding. It's as though they knew it was a problem, and they had to do something different. Normally, I wouldn't have cared. You know, boats in the old days had a portion of the anatomy of the boat called the poop deck. You know what that's for, don't you, Amaryllis?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have minded if Teddy had used the poop deck, but he didn't. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Look, I've criticized the UN over and over again for many things, and now it's acting like a global redistribution of wealth organization. Now they're using the swine flu scare to try to get even more money out of the United States. Robert Scott Bell joins us now with a report on the UN.
Thanks, Michael. Just when you thought global swine flu propaganda couldn't get any more absurd, this report out of the United Nations, as reported by The Guardian in the United Kingdom, the swine flu could kill millions unless rich nations give 900 million pounds. Is that about 1.4, 1.5 billion U.S.? Now, this United Nations report says the pandemic may result in anarchy unless the Western world pays for antiviral drugs and vaccines. Is this a stick-up? Give me all your money or we're going global anarchy. What are they going to do, unleash a swine flu virus that's not doing anything any more unordinary or extraordinary than a typical seasonal flu virus? Now, this is straight out of the article, but it says the swine flu pandemic could kill millions and cause anarchy in the world's poorest nations unless we can extract 900 million pounds from the rich countries to pay for what? Vaccines and antiviral medicines.
Well, that plays along with what Gaddafi said about giving the medicine away for free. Play that clip.
Medicine should not be sold, should not be a commercial business. You should make a declaration that medicine should be free of a charge, that vaccination should be given free to children, so that capitalist countries or capitalist companies make the viruses and make the vaccinations, and they want to make a profit. And why don't we make it free of a charge? Why don't we give it to free?
And, Michael, you know full well the pharmaceutical industrial complex and their influence here in the U.S., but now it's lock, stock, and barrel at the United Nations as well as they're promoting this. And we've covered these stories, and we've covered the fact that the science shows that the antivirals at best can reduce duration about a half a day over not taking them. And, of course, the resistance that is rising because people have been already overusing and abusing these things, much like they overuse and abuse the antibiotic drugs. They're seeing resistance to viruses or viral resistance to these drugs going up exponentially as well. So even if you rely upon Big Pharma for your medicines, they're not going to work when you need them because of this promotional campaign by the United Nations. By the way, Barack Obama, the first president, chair of the United Nations 15-member Security Council. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, but I don't know where in our Constitution does it allow a president, someone in the executive branch, the president, to serve in a non-governmental United Nations-type organization. This seems to be a supreme violation.
Well, many things this administration does seem to be a violation of the Constitution.
As does this idea of holding up first world nations, demanding money to redistribute the wealth. No, not to third world countries, but to the pharmaceutical industrial complex. The last time I checked, they weren't hurting all that bad. And this relates to another story that's come up. Did you realize that the Gardasil that was used to promote against the human papillomavirus, which they are linking to the cervical cancer later in women's life, now They've not only, despite the fact that there are thousands of girls reporting adverse events, including Guillain-Barré syndrome, but now they're approving this for use in little boys.
What?
They're blaming them as carriers, so it wasn't enough to shoot up the little girls. Now they're going after the little boys. And not only that, at the same time, they're approving the GSK version called Cervarix on the market. And this is, again, another play where the government has become involved in private industry to the point where you can't tell where one begins and another ends. So this redistribution of wealth from Americans, unbeknownst to them, being stolen via tax money or otherwise, now the UN is demanding it, even beyond the auspices of our own government doing so, so that they can provide vaccines that clearly are dangerous and untested in regards to the swine flu, as well as the antivirals, which are being overused and abused and have problems of their own. These are the kind of things that are not being reported within the mainstream media. It takes talk radio. It takes things that are happening on the internet to warn Americans of this global takeover of their health. And interestingly enough, there are three bills, and two in particular I'll mention here, in Congress right now in the House of Representatives that could open up the floodgates to correct the problems that we call the so-called healthcare crisis, which we really know is a crisis of disease management. And that includes H.R. 3394, the Freedom of Health Speech Act. Imagine, Michael, if you were free with all of the work and research that you did that showed the value of botanicals, of plant medicinals to boost immune function. Imagine if companies that help to bring those things to America or help to produce them right here in America could speak truthfully about their immune benefits to maybe even protect against pandemic strains of flu. And the Freedom of Health Speech Act would tie up the FTC so it would no longer violate these First Amendment rights to say, well, when it comes to commercial free speech, no, you don't have the right. Much like they're attacking talk radio, as if we don't have the right to spout, if I say it that way, conservative values, limiting the role of government. And there's also H.R. 3395 Health Freedom Act, which would be brilliant, basically allowing dietary supplement manufacturers, herbal manufacturers, to bring out those products. And my goodness, if they happen to cure disease, it's okay to say so, as long as they are not doing it in a fraudulent manner.
Exactly.
Very simple ways that we could really avert or eliminate the so-called crisis of disease management or the monopoly of government that they want to say. And then, you know, the liberals, the leftists are saying, we got to compete. We want competition. And they're, you know, they think, wow, they sound like free market capitalists suddenly. But the reality is they want the government to compete with private industry, which has been so overregulated and overburdened by those regulations that they cannot offer what the American people want in regards to real health insurance, catastrophic coverage, which is the appropriate role for insurance, not to pay everything, every cut, scrape, and every preventative technique. So we have that as an issue, and they say, well, let's have the government insure. Let that, it'll just be competition. But explain to me how you can compete with an entity that can lose billions of dollars every year and keep right on going. There is no private industry that could do that. So there is no competition. It would definitely wipe out what's left of private insurance should that public option, which may or may not be being fought for, as they are so schizophrenic on this issue. We want it, we don't. We want it, we don't. But thank you, Michael, for bringing this out as well every week, every day, in fact, on the radio, because this issue of, again, health freedom, very important to Americans, as well as to get the real truth about the swine flu propaganda out so that our children don't become victimized by Big Pharma or the rest of this country become victimized by the United Nations demand, like they're now some kind of mafiosa. Here's the gun. Here's the vaccine. We're going to jab you unless you give us all your money so we can buy these drugs and vaccines and distribute them to the third world. Amazing. Just amazing.
Robert, tell us again where we can read more about this.
Thanks, Michael. They can go to my blog at robertscottbell.blogspot.com, where I'll keep everybody up to date on these happenings from a global perspective right down to your locality to protect you from the attacks by the United Nations and our own government in bed with Big Pharma.
Thanks, Robert.
Savage.
I've told you that the British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, who has banned me from Britain, is the Neville Chamberlain of his time. He has completely failed to recognize the greatest threat to his country. Not for me, Michael Savage, who he's responsible for prohibiting from entering England, but from Islamo-fascist terrorists. Here's Brown pandering to Libyan terrorists.
I think we've got to put this in one perspective. Over these last 10 years, we've seen Libya try to move to a better position in the international community by renouncing nuclear weapons, and at the same time, renouncing any role in international terrorism. Now, we have got to hold Libya to these promises. And these are the issues, security issues, that I will continue to raise with Libya. But no deals, no background, backroom stitch-up of any sort. And I do assure the American people that we would never put them in that position.
And here's Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of England in the lead-up to World War II, making excuses for giving in to Hitler over Czechoslovakia.
I am myself a man of peace to the depths of my soul. Armed conflict between nations is a nightmare to me. But if I were convinced that any nation had made up its mind to dominate the world by fear of its force, I should feel that it must be resisted. Under such a domination, life for people who believe in liberty would not be worth living. But war is a fearful thing. And we must be very clear before we embark on it that it is really the great issues that are at stake. For the present, I ask you to wait as calmly as you can for the events of the next few days. As long as war has not begun, that it may be prevented, and you know that I am going to work for peace to the last moment.
You see, Chamberlain was in denial. He thought that he could avoid a war with Hitler by giving him Czechoslovakia. But Hitler wanted everything. Gordon Brown, England's Prime Minister today, is in denial as well. He thinks the rest of the world hasn't noticed his appeasement of Libyan terrorists when he allowed the release of the Lockerbie bomber. Even Obama snubbed him, and Brown refuses to admit it.
The special relationship has never been stronger. I talked to President Obama. I talked before I came to the meetings here, and I talked to him at the meetings. I had a long talk with him after Monday's meeting. We're meeting today. We're chairing two meetings together. The special relationship is strong and it's strengthening because there is a common purpose. I think if you read President Obama's speech to the United Nations yesterday and read the speech that I made, we're dealing with exactly the same challenges, and we see things in very similar ways, and we're about to make quite big changes in the way the international community operates to deal with these problems, and that's America and Britain working more closely together than ever.
At least Neville Chamberlain had the common sense to resign when he realized he had failed.
I sought an audience of the King this evening and tendered to him my resignation, which His Majesty has been pleased to accept. His Majesty has now entrusted to my friend and colleague, Mr. Winston Churchill, the task of forming a new administration on a national basis. And in this task, I have no doubt he will be successful.
But in Gordon Brown's case, there doesn't seem to be a Winston Churchill to hand things over to. This is the Savage Nation. We now have the Red Diaper Doper Babies running America, RDDBs. Red Diaper Doper Babies. Red Diaper Doper Babies, Red Diaper Babies, who then took dope. They'd like to put you into a mill and grind you up and spit you out. 30 million gone, and they have the perfect society, which is the society without any opposition that Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi dream about. Quies custodiat ipsos custodes, pardon my Latin, I only know Botanica Latin, and I'm after all only from the Bronx, so therefore give me a break, have some compassion for me. I'm not as bright as liberals who went to grade school. Quies custodiat ipsos custodes, Latin phrase from the Roman poet Juvenal, which says, who watches the watchmen, or who watches the watchers, or who will guard the guards, or who shall watch the watchers themselves? The answer is, not us. We can't. Quies custodiat ipsos custodes, who shall watch the watchers? The answer is, not us. Why, the media was supposed to do that. See, the media was supposed to watch the watchers. You see, the media is supposed to be the watchers of the watchers. But the media is a compliant group of gum. Think of Bouncing Nutty Putty, then think of Tom Brokaw, and think of all of those in the media who are simply Nutty Putty in the hands of Bill Ayers and his friends. So who will guard the guards? Who shall watch the watchers themselves? The answer is we the people. End of story. And the day you stop watching is the day they take over, and that's when the fun begins. That's when the fun begins. That's when the fun begins in this country, is when they take total power. If you think you've seen revolution in this country, you've seen nothing yet. you haven't seen what Bill Ayers and his friends would like to do to you. Go watch the movie about Cambodia. You'll get a closer view, a real close view. It won't be a movie. It'll be a snapshot of a mountain of skulls. Tom in New York, WOR, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yeah, on June 9, 1970, I was in police headquarters when Bill Ayers put 15 sticks of dynamite in the second floor bathroom and blew up this whole second floor of police headquarters. And when I found out Obama was associated with him, I said, oh, my God, they're back in power again. It's like...
But, Tom, they're not back in power again. They now have the presidency. That man, every time he goes on Air Force One, I want to throw a brick through the screen. I say he's an imposter. He knows he doesn't belong there. He cannot believe it. He has Marines saluting him, a guy who's anti-military and anti-war. How is this possible?
It's possible because the American people don't realize when something walks like a red duck and it quacks like a red duck, it is a red duck.
Okay, we go on now. Marilyn in Florida. Next up, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good talking to you, Michael. I mean, they own our colleges and universities. They've been working at that for 40 years.
They worked the hearts and minds since the 1960s. I knew many of them. All they wanted to do was steal your dope and do your wife. They wanted to steal your girlfriend and steal your dope. They were degenerates. They were evil. They're now running virtually everything.
Exactly. When my son graduated with a double Ivy, his undergrad in Cornell, his graduate at UPenn, both in Near Eastern Studies, which means he studied Arabic. Now, what does abortion have to do with Arabic? Well, they're wanting to see if he is liberal or if he is right-wing.
He studied Arabic, and the final exam was on abortion?
Wanting to know in his oral test, asking him in Arabic, his views on abortion.
Now, wait a minute. In which university is this?
University of Pennsylvania.
The once great University of Pennsylvania.
Exactly, the once.
The once great University of Pennsylvania, U of P, a once elite city on a hill, has now become nothing but a trash heap. And it was radicalized in the 1960s by the Bill Ayers, Van Jones type, the Jeff Jones types. They now run the universities, don't they?
Interested in wanting to know kids' political persuasion, to wanting to know what kind of grades they should get these kids. It's frightening.
It's just frightening. Now we go to a man who knows a lot about communism. He calls the show on a regular basis. Jimmy in New York on WOR. You're on, Jimmy. Go ahead.
You're doing a great job, by the way. When you see that the communist world movement is winning massively in Latin America now, and they're spreading stronger and further in Latin America, Red China is penetrated all over Africa. You have the communist, I say, and you, I think you pretty much agree too, takeover of America. When you add all this up, how could anybody still believe the propaganda from the KGB that we won the Cold War? That was a fake.
Well, you've been saying for years that it was a game that the KGB played, that when the wall came down, we said that the Soviet Union was broken. But I've always suspected that Gorbachev was a secret agent.
Exactly. But it's a mess.
When Gorbachev came to San Francisco with the Tides Foundation, do you remember those days?
Right.
Okay.
And they talked about excess population. So there is an organized movement to lower the population
of the
world.
Oh, God. Do you think they're capable of exterminating masses of people?
I think that there are people that would and can. Yes, I do. And you do it
Would there be enough will to stop them?
There'd have to be knowledge of it, because a lot of these things are done in a way where people don't understand until it's too late. There's still people giving Obama the benefit of the doubt. Would a person give somebody the benefit of the doubt if they're surrounded by Nazi war criminals and pro-Nazis and Klansmen? And you
right. In other words, let's say a conservative had won the election. That wouldn't have been McCain, because he was a stealth Democrat, planted the New World Order. He threw the election. We know that. But let's say there was a real conservative and he had won, and he created 40 positions for czars, and the czars had backgrounds with the KKK, neo-Nazis, etc. Tell me what the vermin in the media would be doing today, Jimmy.
They'd be trying to destroy him, but I tell you, the conservatives would destroy that person too, because conservatives would never allow that, no matter what party the person's in. We're not going to allow somebody to destroy this country. The left in this country don't have those same feelings that we do, the hard left, that is. Because I still think there are some decent liberals who are maybe misinformed.
All right, now let's stop right there. So let's get back to Obama. Where does he fall on the spectrum of communism. Where is he?
I think he's totally a communist. I call it Obamianism. When Obamianism is when you bring black radicalism, radical Islam, communism, all kind of perversion. When you bring all the worst threats together under one movement, that's Obamianism. It's very clear to me from day one, he may have been conceived with the hope of becoming a communist president. I've known communists, and they've all been raised.
Well, I've read that conspiracy theory, Jimmy. I've read that with the father in Chicago, the whole conspiracy theory. But I'd rather not go there right now because it would undermine your overall theme in that the audience can only take so much and follow so much. Isn't that true?
Well, I think...
That's for me to know, Jimmy. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.